Hello, and welcome to the Eclectic Hedgewitch podcast. I just wanted to kick off today by reading a passage from Living Earth Devotional by, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Clea Danman? Or Denon? Maybe? Living Earth Devotional, 365 Green Practices for Sacred Connection. So it's essentially just an everyday, it has a little passage for you to read through. It'll have little things to think about. Sometimes it'll include ideas for rituals or talk about different Sabbats. So I wanted to read the one for today. Stars are birthed from supernovas. They move through the universe, traversing great distances. Some have twin stars, and others are drawn together like fuse like lovers. They die, creating greater complexity in the universe. Stars burn because hydrogen and helium inside them are attracted to each other. They unite, change, and birth energy. Stars are great balls of transformation. Many indigenous people saw stars as living beings. Consider how you define a being or consciousness. Gaze upon the stars, those alien beings, and witness their part in the unified movement of beauty. I just wanted to start the episode off with that. I like those little tidbits just to think about as you move through your day, and to just kind of sit down and really take a step back and think about things a bit. So, speaking of the stars, I feel like the next thing to talk about would be just kind of where the moon's at right now, what's going on, and what kind of magic you can do with that. So right now the moon's in first quarter, which is a good time to do any sort of magic to draw things in, bring anything into your life, attracting spells, things of that nature, as we move towards the full moon. Since we're talking about magic to draw things into your life, bring things in, attract things, that whole ordeal, I thought one thing that I would like to mention is just while I'm talking, I actually have a candle burning here on my altar, which is right beside me. It's a candle for prosperity, just to draw that in, to bring that into my life a little bit. And fun little tidbit about candles and candle making, I've actually learned a little way how to lazily make candles, as opposed to doing the whole getting something to melt down wax in and get containers or molds or whatever. I actually got this tip from the Daily Witch podcast, and it's take a bunch of tea lights and a pan, preferably one that you don't mind ruining because you're likely going to get wax on it, and fill it up and put water in the pan with your tea lights about halfway up the side of the lights. And then put it on your stove on a low heat, and just let all the wax melt down. If your wicks fall over at all, you can use like a toothpick just to prop them back up. But so far I've had pretty good luck with them actually standing up the whole time. And then once the wax is all melted down, sprinkle in whatever herbs or scents or whatever it is that you're putting in there. Also just double check that anything that you put in there is actually safe to put in a candle. I've heard a few stories of people putting things like cinnamon sticks in and then having their candles explode on them, so just be a little careful. But yes, that's a nice little way, and then once, of course, you've sprinkled all your herbs and stuff in, just turn off the heat and let it sit till the wax rehardens, and then you've got yourself some lazily made special candles. And you can also, I know at different craft stores you can also buy like dye for waxes and stuff, so you could probably mix that in if you want to make colors as well added in. But for me, that's just a really nice, easy, quick way to make some spell candles without a whole hell of a lot of effort, because I am very much liking the quick, easy, low effort way of doing things. Alright, and next I just wanted to talk about my current tea obsession, which is Sip of Sage from David's Tea. Now, I'm just going to read a little bit about sage here from Cunningham's Encyclopedia of Magical Herbs. So, for sage has been utilized to ensure a long life, sometimes even immortality. This is done by eating some of the plant every day, or at least in May, for he who live for A must eat sage in May. Sage is carried to promote wisdom, and the leaves are used in countless healing and money spells. To guard yourself against contracting the dreaded evil eye, wear a small horn filled with sage. There are a few curious gardening tips concerning sage. First, it is bad luck to plant sage in your own garden. A stranger should be found to do the work. Second, a full bed of sage brings ill luck, so ensure that some other plant shares the pot. Incidentally, toads love sage. If you desire to make a wish come true, write it on a sage leaf and hide it beneath your pillow. For 3 nights, sleep on it. If once you dream of what you desire, your wish will be materialized. If not, bury the sage in the ground so you do not come to harm. Now, I love that. So sage is pretty... Well, it's got a lot of uses. The primary use that most people use it for is to simply burn it to cleanse their space. Of course, that's generally the white sage that people will be burning in that case. Whereas this is more so like your kitchen sage. So yeah, next time you're considering doing a long life or perhaps a wish sort of spell, consider using sage while you're doing it. I know it's also very commonly used in protection, in those sort of herbal blends as well. I actually have a little, it's like an herbal incense blend. It's meant to be burned. It can also be used in, I've sprinkled it in candles as well, to make protection candles. I got this actually from a subscription box that I have. It's called Hagswag. It's a Canadian subscription box, and I'm Canadian, so that is awesome. To the best of my knowledge, it's the only one like that that's actually from Canada that I know of. But yeah, we got this in the January box. Combination of lavender, pine, sage, bay, white sage, and sandalwood. So that's a nice little blend to just burn to kind of help protect yourself. And so far I've been loving it as well. Just sort of cleanse it and or anoint it, anything like that, just to kind of get that stirring up again. I also got a candle in that same box here. It's called Hecate's Protection, and this is meant to be both a devotional candle and for protection rituals and spells. So this one has the scent of blackberry and sage, and it's also dressed with amethyst, wild-crafted hawthorn berries, and nettle. And it's just a little tin candle, and it smells amazing. Like, it smells like candy. I can't quite put my finger on what kind of candy it smells like, but it's like a very sweet, berry-y smell. And it's super nice, and I love it, and I actually kind of felt a little bit bad the first time I burned it, just because of how nice it is. And then this little protection blend, I've burned a couple of times. It does smell very, very nice. And yeah, I've also used some of these, as well as some of the other herbs that I got from the box, and all just the supplies in general to make a little protection sachet that I keep in my purse just when I go around with me, and every now and then I'll sort of feed it a little bit and just sort of rework that and sort of refresh the energy, I guess you could say. So yeah, for any sort of ongoing spells like that, you always just kind of want to periodically feed it, whether you just sort of change out the herbs or add some new stuff, take away something. And also, just on the subject of that, I got this body butter from that same subscription box. Sacred Circle Protection Body Butter, and it smells absolutely amazing. But yeah, those have definitely been useful just to help work with that. So it's meant to just sort of bring an aura of protection into your self-care routine. Now, the fact that this is a body butter makes it extra awesome because I have eczema. So bringing moisturizing into my routine is something that I have to do anyway, so it's nice to have something a little bit magical just to kind of work with while I'm doing something that I have to do for my skin anyways. And it, luckily, none of the scents or anything used in it irritates my skin, so that's bonus. Granted, I'm not super sensitive to scents in general. It's always a concern whenever I'm just putting anything over eczema, just because it tends to be a little bit more sensitive than just my regular skin. Alright, so I guess I'm just gonna be wrapping this little episode up here. Just a little bit of a reminder, as we're coming towards the full moon, I'm not sure if I'm gonna have an episode up before the full moon rolls around, or if this will be my only one that's going to be up before that comes. But just a little reminder, remember to get your little jars of water, your crystals, anything else that you want to sort of charge in that moon. Get it all ready in the coming week here, because that full moon is going to be suddenly here before we know it. And just a little reminder that you want to get all your stuff charged, so that way you got it all ready for until the next full moon. I actually like to keep a little jar of moon water just sitting out on my altar, and that's where I do all my, that's my entire little magical space, that's where I just do everything, and I like to just kind of leave it open, so whenever you have just like an open container of water, the water kind of evaporates over time, and I like to do that just because it kind of, I know that water's evaporating a little bit, and it kind of keeps that whole space sort of charged with that energy. So that's just a nice way to do that. Plus then, of course, on your altar you have a representation of water, and it kind of serves that dual purpose, and then it's always there and ready whenever I want to use it, specifically within some sort of work that I'm doing, or if I want to use it to just anoint something quick, it's there, it's ready, it's great. Another thing that's awesome is if you so that's one nice little way to use it up. If you keep it like a nice, good clean container as well, you can make sure, you can also give that to perhaps your animals or use it in cooking. If you keep some extra moon water around, more than what you're gonna need to use before your next full moon, I like to give it to my plants. So of course, assuming the water that you're using is all safe to drink, I know not everyone's going to be using water from different places. For a little while I had some that was just melted snow that I collected under the full moon, and that's not something I really wanted to drink, especially after it'd been just sort of sitting there for so long. So depends on what you're using, so be careful. But yeah, I think that's everything for this episode. I hope you all have a good week, and I'll see you next time.